Well, hello, hello, and welcome to the Financial Wake Up Call with Dave Crossan. I am Dave Crossan, and I'm so excited for you all to be part of this podcast. And of course, I will put out my triple thank you for everyone out there that have been kind enough to listen to this podcast and my previous podcast, because the best part about doing this, it's a podcast for different ideas, different thoughts on topics, like that light bulb moment, that scratch the head moment. That's what we're really trying to accomplish here. And of course, I've had many people reach out to me about topics that I've done on previous podcasts. I'm like, David, need some more clarity, or maybe go this direction or that direction. I'm happy to do so. And of course, you can reach out to me at Shoreline Wealth Management at 732-902-7880, or of course, David Crossan at shorelinewealth.com, or of course, visit us at shorelinewealth.com. So today's topic is a good topic. I like to think they're all good and great topics that we discuss on the different podcasts that we're doing. But I get asked this question a lot when it comes to insurance or protection. Is there a protection or insurance on maybe an annuity that I own or a bank deposit? Or how does this all work? So let's talk about something that we can all relate to. We've walked into the bank and we see that sign, FDIC. And what is that? That's the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. And what that is, it is an insurance up to $250,000 per titling, not account. What do I mean by that? Well, let's talk about it, because this is where a lot of confusion comes in. So let's put out an example, shall we? We shall. So let's say I have an account in just my name, checking account titled in my name, a savings account in my name, and a CD, a certificate of deposit, in my name. You're thinking, well, David, let me add this up. $250,000 for that checking account, $250,000 for that savings account, and the same for the CD. That looks like $750,000 worth of coverage. Well, not so fast. No, that's not the case. Let me clear it up. So again, what did I say? Based on titling will determine your FDIC insurance or that coverage. So if the titling is just my name, David Crossan, and I have a checking, I have a savings, and I have a CD, certificate of deposit, because it's the same titling, and again, we're assuming it's one bank, let's say Bank A. I'm not focused in on other banks. That's a different conversation. I'm going to get into that. But for that exercise, that breakdown, if you will, with the different account types or different account types, because they are, it's checking, it's a savings and a CD, because it's the same titling, my name, the collective balance, if you will be $250,000. That's my protection because it is the same titling. Number one, that's the biggest thing that people get confused by. They're thinking, well, if I have different accounts, I get the additional coverage. Well, no, that's not the case. Keep in mind, because it's the same title, the collective amount between the checking, savings, and CD, for our example, would be that $250,000. And now you're thinking, well, David, I've heard situations where you can get more coverage. You know, tell me about that. What's going on? That doesn't sound right. Well, let me explain. So let's say, again, a different account where I have, it's a joint account with, say, my wife. There it is, two people on this account. Well, now in that scenario, and let's say it's a checking account or savings or CD, it doesn't matter. For that titling, the joint account, now instead of $250,000, now it's $500,000. You see the difference? The titling is different. You've got two people on there. Each will have the $250,000 of coverage for the FDIC insurance. So for this example, instead of $250,000, it's $500,000. I think you can see where I'm going with this. Again, it's not driven off of the account type, which could be checking, savings, CD, those examples. It's driven off of the titling. Let me put another example out there. Let's say I have bank accounts where I have different beneficiaries. Let's say I have an account, but I have four children and I established the different accounts, but they're different beneficiaries on there. Again, that's going to extend my coverage. So for this beneficiary, there's $250. For the next beneficiary, there's another $250. You get the idea where we're going this, because it is a different titling, because I have these different beneficiaries on there. That's extending my $250,000 of FDIC insurance. Again, another titling, if you will, would be a trust account. Let's say I have a revocable trust. Again, another opportunity to have a different account titling where I extend that coverage. I hope that all makes sense. Again, the key takeaway is what's going to drive the additional coverage is going to be based on the titling and not the different account types, whether it be checking or saving CD, those examples. I just want to make it clear. It's the titling that will drive the insurance. And again, the key thing about this is if you do go into a local branch, they can actually break that down for you and go through the different titlings of the different accounts and how they're set up and go over exactly what your coverage is for the different accounts and how much coverage you have for the FDIC insurance. Again, let's just go back to the basic idea with FDIC insurance. That $250,000, again, that was extended. It used to be $100,000 back in 2008, but unfortunately we had that credit crisis when the $100,000 was then extended to a $250,000 of coverage, and that's currently where we're at right now. But you're asking, okay, well, David, I have my account, let's say I have under the $250,000, then I would have that coverage. And the answer is yes, you do have that FDIC insurance on it. But keep this in mind, even though you have that protection on there, that doesn't mean you walk into the bank and say, hey, I have $250,000 coverage, and let's say I have $100,000 in that account. Please, I want that cash. I want to walk out the door with that $100,000. Again, they don't have that physically there. And in fact, if you ever need a decent amount of cash for whatever reason, you typically should reach out to a bank, because if it's a large amount of cash, they won't usually have that on deposit to physically give to you. So keep that in mind. If you do need a large amount of cash, again, even if you have a big balance in your bank account, that doesn't mean they can just simply say just one moment and then hand you that large amount of cash. You know, that's something where you should reach out to the branch. And in some cases, it may take a day or two to give you what the amount is that you need. So I want to make that clear. Just because you have that on deposit at the bank doesn't mean they physically have that at the location at the branch for you to take out at that time. Now, again, you're asking yourself, well, David, what if I have a situation where I'm part of a bank and instead of $250,000, I have $300,000? Well, there's the risk. Again, let's use the example. Let's say it's just in your name. You don't have any beneficiaries on the account and you have $300,000. Well, theoretically, if there is a bank failure and there isn't some sort of rescue plan put in place, or another bank doesn't come in and rescue, and we've saw that earlier in the year with some of the regional banks that had issues that had to be rescued, there is that risk that if you do not have it under that $250,000, that there is that exposure, that it, there, if there isn't a rescue plan or another bank honoring those deposits, you could be out that money. So I always say to people, especially with their different deposits, is to make sure you're covered within the limits. And well, how do you get around it? How do you extend it beyond what we're talking about here? Well, again, we mentioned with using multiple beneficiaries, we mentioned about, say, a joint account to extend the coverage, or maybe you have a trust account that's been established to extend coverage, is to use multiple banks. And of course, the same thing applies to other banks, where if you have titling like we're talking about, each bank has their own set of the FDIC insurance. So if you're really looking to extend the coverage beyond what you can do in one bank, you could always do the same thing in multiple banks. So for a lot of people that do have a lot of cash, they do use multiple banks for the simple reason of extending the FDIC insurance on those deposits. So another thing I wanted to bring up, which in a lot of cases can create some confusion, is like, well, David, okay, I understand my protection that I have with my bank deposits regarding up to the $250,000 for the titling that you're talking about here on the podcast. But what about for a brokerage account? I'm hearing something called SIPC. Is that the same thing? How does that work? You know, let's talk about that. And I'm thinking, of course, it's good to understand the difference. So SIPC is the Securities Investor Protection Corporation. And a similar idea on the protection for an account titling, you do have up to $500,000, of which $250,000 of that can be cash. So you're thinking about, okay, well, what does that cover? Well, that would be the actual brokerage account itself. That could be stocks, that could be bonds, broker issued certificates of deposit, mutual funds, money markets. Those are just some of the examples. So typically that would protect if something happened to your brokerage firm, something when they went out of business, there's certain protections there. But let me make this clear, and I think this is where the confusion is. When you're investing in a stock or a bond and a mutual fund, they go up and down in value. So a stock can increase, it can go down, it can stay the same. This SIPC is not protecting you against losses of the investments. It's protecting the account itself, like I mentioned, up to the $500,000, of which $250,000 of protection on the cash side of it, that it's protecting the actual investment, but not the up and down that would occur with the fluctuation of the stock market. I want to make sure that that is clear, because I think people think it's the same thing. Well, it's FDIC insurance or the SIPC, you know, I'm protected either way. You're protected on the account itself, but you're not protected from the losses that can occur from the investment. So completely different than the FDIC insurance on a bank deposit, because on a bank deposit, you're not in the stock market. It's not going up and down. It's interest type of an account with a protected principal. That's the balance that's protected with the FDIC insurance. So you're not worrying about the ups and downs of what a stock market would do, or let's say interest rates, how that could affect bonds, and of course mutual funds, depending on how they're invested, would impact them. So I wanted to clear that up. So here's the takeaway from this. The different protections that are out there. We just covered the FDIC insurance regarding your bank deposits. We just discussed the SIPC protection on your brokerage account. Again, that's the account with the investments in it. But again, it's not protecting the up and down movement of the market, of the bonds. And of course, then you're thinking, well, what are other opportunities out there for insurance or protection? You know, certain investments have protection, like annuities are protected by the insurance company. And let me make this clear, like an annuity that you would purchase from a company, there is insurance from the insurance company. That is not something where the FDIC insurance is stepping in to protect it. That's not the case. The insurance for an annuity is from the insurance company. It's not something where SIPC is protecting it. It has its own insurance. So I want to make that very clear for people that are looking for other options out there, other ways to put insurance on their money. Some people I've seen use annuity companies for deposits, let's say like a fixed annuity where they're looking to get a good interest rate, maybe take advantage of some tax deferral benefits, but they are leaning on the insurance company. That's a completely separate insurance. So I want to make that clear. The insurance from an insurance company on an annuity, that's its own insurance, not SIPC and not FDIC insurance. And the last thing I want to bring up, this is very important, especially when it comes to titling. So let's go back in time. Let's go back to the credit crisis we had back in 2007, 2008. Where they lifted the FDIC insurance from $100,000 to $250,000. What a lot of people did back then, like I mentioned earlier in this podcast, is use different titling to extend the coverage. They may choose multiple beneficiaries to get the different $250,000 per coverage, maybe a joint account to extend it out. And for a lot of people, they did that just to protect their assets. At that time, it was, you know, a scary time. People were pulling out of the stock market. They just wanted to put their money somewhere safe. Here is the only hiccup with what took place when it comes to estate planning. And this is something where if people made a lot of adjustments with their titling, beneficiary designations, whatever it was back then. And of course, even recently when it came to a couple of the regional banks having issues where people were just looking to find a safe place to put their money and use different titling to extend the FDIC insurance. Remember what we talk about with legacy planning when it comes to a will. Let's say, I'll give an example. When I pass away, I want my money to be split between, I'm going to make this up, four children. All right. I pass away. My will clearly says, hey, 25% each. That's how I want everything to be when I pass away. 25% equal to each. Now, if I am changing my titling with my bank accounts, for example, or let's say even my brokerage accounts where I can put on a transfer on death, payable on death. Anytime I change a beneficiary designation, I may, for example, with the FDIC insurance on my bank deposits, extend my protection, that $250,000. But now I've affected my legacy planning because, again, remember, I'm going to pound the desk on this, a beneficiary designation or a joint account titling is going to supersede whatever is in the will. So again, for my example, if I clearly indicated in my will I want it split between four children, but yet I've changed the beneficiary designations to different beneficiaries to extend my FDIC insurance, and maybe I've changed the percentages, or maybe I've now included nieces and nephews because, again, I want to extend my coverage. The hiccup is if I were to then pass away, whatever the designation is, whether it be a joint account or beneficiary designations, whatever it is I've done to extend my coverage, now has impacted my legacy planning. So it doesn't matter at that point what I've said in the will or stated in the will, it's now going to follow these beneficiary designations or joint owners that I've added to these various accounts. So be careful. Go back to if you were back in 2007 and 8, you made a lot of changes and you just have not readdressed that with your legacy planning, or something recently when we're having some issues with some of the regional banks that you may have changed some titling or added some beneficiaries to extend your coverage on your FDIC insurance. Make sure with these changes, it falls in line with what you want to see happen with your overall legacy planning. Because again, last time I'm going to bring this up, you're like, David, I'm tired of you bringing this up, but I am going to bring it up. Beneficiary designations, joint ownership, those instructions, those titlings, those designations will supersede any instructions I have in the will. So if you've made some changes and they go against what your will says or what you wanted to see happen, that's going to negatively impact your plan and what you wanted to see happen upon your passing. And that's the end of that. I just want to make that clear. So again, I always say, especially with legacy planning, lean on your estate planning attorney with these questions. But I just wanted to bring that up because if you have made these adjustments, it does change the outcome when you pass away. So with that being said, I want to thank everybody for listening to this podcast and all of my podcasts. Please reach out to me at 732-902-7880. And of course, you can visit us at shorelinewealth.com. Thank you so much for listening. I look forward to next time. Have an amazing week. Take care.